Okay, so this evening I want us at least to get started on the issues to do with the ketubah, which is of course one of the important aspects of chuppah v'kiddushin. And there are a number of well, want to look at sort of generalities of the chuppah of the ketubah, and then also at some specific shaylot that come up. We're not going to deal with everything probably this evening, but at least get started. So I want to start off with a Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, which is going to talk about what the nature is of the Chiyuv Ketubah. We should remember that the Ketubah is essentially a financial agreement, a financial commitment from the husband to the wife that she will get certain monies if the marriage comes to an end during her lifetime, either through the demise of the husband or through the dissolution of the marriage. So, Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Chachamim tiknu lahem livnot Yisrael livtulat ma'atayim ula almana mana. So, this is telling us that it's a takana of the Chachamim that a betula should get 200 zuz, and an almana should get 100 zuz. Neeman. And the chatan is also able to say that he discovered that the wife that he was marrying turned out not to be a virgin. So inkei maho ilu chachamim b'takanatam. So if that's the case, if he can just say that she's not a virgin, then everybody can get out of paying k'tuvat matayim. Whenever they divorce their wife, they can say petach patuach matzati. Amar Rava chazakain adam torech b'suda mafsida. So we've got a chazaka, we've got an assumption that a person isn't going to go to the trouble of making all the wedding arrangements for somebody and then just cancelling it all and divorcing his wife unnecessarily. Tana, ho knas chachamim hu, lo tikba elam in hezi borit. So there's a din, a particular din, that if the husband hasn't got ready money, and the wife is going to be claiming money from either the husband or the estate and is going to have to take karka in payment, so she gets the ziborit. Ziborit being the worst quality karka that he's got, because it's a knas. We're saying it's a knas. It's a fine, a penalty on the husband. So we ask, knasa, my knasa. What sort of penalty is it? Because it's a takana of the chachamim, so rather than something mandated by the Torah, she can only get from the ziborit. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, ketuvat isha min ha-Torah. So he says, no, it's actually the notion of ketuvat isha is min ha-Torah. It's not a takana of the chachamim. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel has already said himself that this pasuk of kesef yishkol kamo habetulot is only a smach for the chachamim to institute the notion of ketubah. But it's not that the ketubah itself comes from the Torah. So, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, ketubat isha eina midivrei Torah, eina midivrei sofrim. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says it's not midivrei Torah at all, but it's midivrei sofrim. The Tana Kama is saying it's a smach from the Torah, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel is saying it's midivrei sofrim. So how could Rabban Shimon Gamliel previously say that it's min ha-Torah? So, epuch. Okay, change the sheetot round. My chazat da pach bat raita, epuch kamaita. Why don't you turn it around and say that Rav Shimon Gamliel never said that ketuvat isha is min ha-Torah? Because hashamina leila Rav Shimon Gamliel zama ketuvat isha midoraita. Because he said clearly that ketuvat isha is midoraita. It's not Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, notein la mima ot kaputkia. V'ibayta ima, ma'ot kaputkia, going to tell us that this is a superior type of payment that she has to receive because this is a chiyuv midoraita. But k'tuvat almana eina mitivrei Torah mitivrei sofrim. Shimon ben Gamliel omer k'tuvat almana eina mitivrei Torah ela mitivrei sofrim. So we could say that actually everybody holds that k'tuba is midoraita, but k'tuba for an almana is only mitivrei sofrim. In any event, what we're seeing here is two opinions really in the Gemara as to what the origins are of the Chiyuv Ketubah. Is it min ha-Torah, or is it mid-Rabbanan? That's essentially the question that we've got here, and it's not entirely clear what the maskan of the sugya is. Though it would seem to be that the maskan of the sugya is that it is mid-Oraita. Now, we actually have a machloket Rishonim as to how we paskin, whether we paskin that ketubah is Doraita or Doravanan. At the moment, while we're talking about ketubah, we're not talking specifically about the shtar, about the document. The document is called a ketubah, and it's called a ketubah because it's written down. But when we're talking about the notion of is ketubah midoraita or midoravanan, we're talking about really the obligation to pay that money. So if we look in the Tosfot says Mashma Diktuva Durabanan. Bchein Baisha Rabba Gabe Ein La Ketuba Ka'ama Mai Tama Takinu La Rabanan Ketuba. This is Gemara in Masechet Yevamot Shelot Hei Kala Be'inav L'Hotzia. Okay, why did Chazal say that there should be such a thing as a ketubah? It's going to stop a person divorcing his wife on a whim. If a person thinks that, you know, that it doesn't happen, it's not going to cost him anything to get divorced. So, you know, just on a whim, he's, you know, we're concerned that a person might divorce his wife, sees a nicer lady. Okay, I'll just tell my current wife, I've had a few arguments with her, tell her to go away and give her a get. Whereas if there's a payment involved, so then that's going to slow him down. So we usually talk about the ketubah being a form of protection for the wife, and that's definitely true. What we're seeing in actual fact is there's two modes of protection. Number one, it's a protection for her that in the event of divorce, there's going to be some financial provision for her. Likewise, in the case of death. But also, it's protecting the marriage in terms of it's slowing the husband down in case he gets into his mind that he wants to divorce her on a whim. Alma stama dasha savadik tuba durabanan. So at first it seems that the ketubah is durabanan. The kashet, but that's problematic. Denagu lichtov bichtuva. This is one of the points we're going to be discussing. But Tosfot says the nusach of the ketubah is that we talk about kesef zuzei matan, 200, that the woman is being promised 200 zuz, the chazu lichi midoraita, you're entitled to min ha-Torah. So that would clearly indicate that we hold that ketubah is doraita. So Tosfot is saying that in actual fact, we're following the Shita of Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that ketubah is doraita. So that's the Shita of the Tosfot, that ketubah is doraita. And he says at the end, so if you're worried about my tama takinu rabbanan ketubah, the Gemara in Yevamot, which said, why is it that we have the ketubah so that a person doesn't divorce his wife on a whim? So that's haki perushon, my tama takinu rabbanan ketubah, heichet takinu kagon ba'almana, shelot heikala be'inav lohotzia. So that's talking about in the cases where it's a takanon to rabbanan. So that's why they were mataking it. So the Shita of Tosfot is that Ketubah is Doraita. However, if you look at the Rosh, at the beginning in the first parak of Masechet Ketubot, so the Rosh says that in actual fact it is Rabbanan. So if the Ketubah is Rabbanan, then we've got a big question. The big question is, what are we going to do about the fact that we say that it's in the Nusuk of the Ketubah, we talk about it being Doraita. If you look in the middle of the Rosh, he says exactly the same question that Tosfot asked. But Tamar Mashin Agulik Tovik Tuvot, but Ashkenaz Sarfat Kesev Zuzi Matan Dechazi Lichi Midoraita. So Tosfot answered it by saying, yeah, in Hakinami it is Doraita. The Rosh gives a different answer. Kol ha ga'onim hiskimu dikhtuvati shamid rabanan. So, everybody agrees that it's mid rabanan. The govin la chamshin kesef sela medina shminit shel sela suri. So the ga'onim are of the opinion that she is entitled to chamshin kesef, 50 sela. 50 sela is matayim, is matayim zuz. There are 4 sela to a zuz. Sela medina, what's called medinish money, is the best translation. We're going to see there's 2 types of coinage. Shminit shel sela tsuri, which is an eighth of sela tsuri. Basically, what we have is we have two forms of coinage. One is known as Kesef Medina, and one is known as Kesef Tsuri. Kesef Medina is 1/8 of the value of Kesef Tsuri. Essentially, what they did was they started diluting the coinage and making it 7 parts Nechoshet and 1 part silver. So the question is, when we talk about, it's like, I suppose, talking about, you know, a dollar. Are we talking about an American dollar, a Canadian dollar, an Australian dollar? You know, they'll all be called dollars, but they'll all have different values. And till not so many years ago, those values were fairly fixed. You know, it was X number of dollars to the pound, you know, $4 to the pound. That's what the exchange rate was fixed at. You know, in recent decades, that way of, you know, having the exchange rate has changed. But so it's a similar notion. You talk about a dollar, what type of dollar are we talking about? We talk about a zuz or a sela. So what type of sela are we talking about? Are we talking about sela medina, or are we talking about sela tsuri? Ra'itim mefarshim da'afilu hergilu lichtov d'chazi lichim mid'oraita, modu d'chtuvat isha d'rabanan, v'chachamim tiknu chamishim kesef mid'oraita. So if it says in the Ketubah, the Chazi Lichi Midoraita, that you're entitled to Midoraita, it doesn't mean Min HaTorah, but it means Mir Doraita coins. You're entitled to 200 Zuz as a Takana Midrabanan, which we're imposing upon you is Mi from Doraita type coins. Doraita type coins are Kesef Tsuri, the more valuable types of coins. So we now have essentially, you know, 2 important discussions here. One is Ketubah Doraita or Drabanan? Tosfot says it's Doraita. The Rosh says it's Drabanan. Now, the Rosh would probably prefer that we write in a Ketubah the Chazi Lichi Midrabanan, that you're entitled to this money Midrabanan. However, in many Ketubot it says the Chazi Lichi Midoraita. So that means you're entitled to it Midrabanan, but you'll get Doraita style coins. And the Nafkamina there is going to be eightfold. In terms of, we say Matayim Zuz of Kesef Medina is worth £100. So Matayim Zuz of Kesef Suri is worth £800, which is of course a very significant difference. It's going to be 800 times as much. And So the Rosh says that's what it's talking about. Where it says the Chazilichim Midoraita, it's talking about getting a higher coinage. That's what Chazal were attacking. So that's a very important machloket in the Rishonim about the nature of the status of this payment. Now let's look at the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchot Ishut. So the Rambam says, Halacha Zayin, Tzarich lichtov ketuba kodem knisa lechupa, va'achar kach yeh mutar b'ishto. So the ketuba has to be written before you go and live with the woman. Remember, we spoke last week and the time before about the Rambam's understanding of what chupa is. V'achatan notein schar asofer, v'kama hu kotev la. What's written in the ketubah? Im hayata betula, in kotvin la pachot mimataim dinarim. If she's a betula, she gets at least 200 dinar. V'im be'ula, in kotvin la pachot mimaya dinarim. And if she's a be'ula, then she gets at least 100. We're going to see that there's a notion of tosefet ketubah, that you can always add to the ketubah, but this is a minimum base amount. You can add as much as you like. So the Rambam is passing like the Tosfot, like the Rosh, that Ketubah is Midrabanan. He's saying wherever we use the term Ketubah, that a woman is entitled to claim her Ketubah, or not entitled to claim her Ketubah, whatever Lashon we use in various circumstances, it's talking about both the Ikar Ketubah and the Tosefet. Then in the next halacha, the Rambam tells us what this payment is about, how this payment works. So dinarim eilu lo tiknu otam min hakesef hatahor, ela mimatbea shaya bo'otan hayamim, shaya shiva chalakim nechoshet, v'chelek echad kesef, ad sheyeh b'sela chatzi zuz kesef. So what the Rambam is saying is that we're paying Kesef Medina, as opposed to what the Rosh said. The Rambam wouldn't have had the Chazilichi Midoraita at all in the Ketubah. The Rambam's Ketubah would have been Chazilichi. Maybe it would have said Midorabanan, maybe it wouldn't have said anything, but it certainly wouldn't have said Midoraita. And the Rambam's holding that she gets the lower payment, which is Kesef Medina. Nimtzuma time dinarim shel betula, chamishavi esrim dinar shel kesef, umeya shel beula, shneim asar dinar umechza. Umishkal, because he's saying that the matayim dinar of a betula is the same as 25 pure silver coins, because it's only 1/8 of kesef tsuri. So if it was Kesef Tzuri, it would be 200 silver coins. But Kesef Medina is 1/8 of that, which is 25 silver coins. And then he tells us what a dinar is. Mishkal kol dinar sheish v'tishim so'orot, k'mo she'be'arnu b'tchilat eruvin. So he tells us that a dinar is 96 grains of barley, the weight of 96 grains of barley. V'adinar en yikra zuz b'chol makom bein she'yayag min ha'kesef tahor bein she'yamin v've'ar otan ha'yamin. Fine, okay, that's telling us the term dinar and zuz, that they're interchangeable whether it's kesef medina or kesef tzuri. Okay, so that's important in terms of the Rambam's Shita, the Rambam telling us that it's a chiyuv d'Rabbanan and a payment mid-Rabbanan. So thus far we've got essentially three positions. We've got the Tosfot that it's a chiyuv and a payment d'Oraita, the Rosh's explanation that it's a chiyuv mid-Rabbanan, but it's a payment of d'Oraita money in a case where the Ketubah says t'chazilichi mid'Oraita, and we've got the Rambam's opinion that it is a chiyuv mid'Rabbanan and a payment mid'Rabbanan. Now that's all well and good, but what we need to understand is exactly how much is going to be paid for this ketubah. What is this Bataim Zuz that a woman might be entitled to? So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Kamashir Haktuba Livtula Mataim Ul Almana Mane. This is Evin Ha'ezesim Samach Vav Sifav. Vishalzu Vishzu Kesef Medina. So this is the Mechabe Paskening like the Rambam, that she gets Kesef Medina, the lower value ketubah. Nimsa ketuvot betulahim shloshim v'sheva dram, v'chatzi, Kesef Tsaruf, v'ketuvat almana machatzitam shem yudchet dram, v'gimol revi'im Kesef Tsaruf. So he's telling us that the value of the ketuvat betulah is 37.5 dirhams of pure silver. We'll talk about what that is in just a moment. And for an almana, it's going to be half of that. Then the Rama tells us, "I'm biyardesim reishon undalavsim shinhei erech hamat bershenik kreit darham." So that's in Hilchot Pidyon Haben Shinhei. V'chol zelatak tzata poskim shesfiru lehu sheketuvot betula. Eina rak zuzei drabanan harifa Rambam v'aran v'haram. Okay, so he said, the Rama, he said, yeah, there is such a view, the view of the Rif and the Rambam. Shemar tam shel betula olin shisha sla'im u'revia. V'yesh mi shem v'sha'e ketuvat betula asara zuhuvim v'almana chamisha zuhuvim. So various ways of working out what the payments is, according to that. Avaladat yesh poskim. Martaim shel betula almana shel almana misharim yad misharim bezuzei d'oraita. Now, even though the ketubah might be midrabanan, nevertheless we pay zuzei d'oraita. V'hu shmona pamim yoter. That's 8 times what the mechabe told us. V'chat hu d'lachein nagu lichtov b'ketubah d'zut chazu lichi midoraita. This is Rabbeinu Tam that we saw in the Tosfot. Sorry, this is the position of the Rosh. It does say Rabbeinu Tam here, but it must be for the Rabbeinu Tam to say Midoraita. But Rabbeinu Tam held that the Ketubah not only was the payment Doraita, but also the Ketubah. The point that he's making is that you pay in Zuzei d'oraita. V'yeshomim d'kotvin d'chazi lichi stama, v'amin hag lichtov livtula d'chazi lichi mid'oraita v'alo la'almana. Chol zeh b'makom she'i minhag, afa b'makom she'ish minhag, ma she'govin holchin achara minhag. Fine. So in any event, what we have here is we have a notion of the notion of paying her mataim mezuz, which is going to be, according to the Rama at least, paying in kesef d'oraita. Now our question is really how much should this be? So we've said that we pay a chamishim seller. That the betula gets chamishim seller, and the beula gets 25 seller. So chamishim seller is 10 times 5 selaim. Why do I mention that it's 10 times 5 selaim? Because 5 selaim is what you're paying for pidyon haben. And Simon Shinhei in Yoredeya, the Shulchan Aruch talks about what that's going to be. So the Shulchan Aruch there in Hilchot Pidyon Haben tells us that 5 selah is 120 ma'in, a ma'a coin, and that is 30 dirham of kesef muzukak, or shloshim dramim kesef muzukak, 30 dramim of pure silver. So what is this dram? This dram, or dirham, seems to be the Egyptian dirham. There was a coin, the Egyptian dirham, which would have been around in the time of the Rambam and the Rishonei Sfarad. Now, how much is this Egyptian dirham? So we've got a machloket amongst the Acharonim. Because I said, why don't we just rely on the Rambam and translate it into barley? Barley was translated into the dirhams, basically. It's just, I suppose, not everybody has barley easily accessible, but the Mechaber and the Ramah, they would have had, certainly the Mechaber, not the Ramah so much, but the Mechaber would have had access to dirhams. It was a standard coin. Everybody would have had those coins. Those coins are based on the measurements of the Sa'arim. So we've got a shloshim dramim. How much is a dirham? So it's a machloket. Rav Yosef Kapach was one of the leading Yemenite scholars of the last generation. He came to Eretz Israel from Yemen, I think in the 1950s, and was Nifta maybe something like 20 years ago. He was a great scholar of the Rambam, translated a lot of the Rambam's Arabic work into Hebrew. He was a very distinguished Taimani scholar, and he worked out that the dirham was 3.33 grams, which for Pidyon HaBen meant it was 100 grams. Rav Avadia Yosef held that it was 3 grams, which for Pidyon HaBen is 90 grams. And Reb Chaim Naer holds that it's 3.2 grams, which for Pidyon HaBen gives us 96 grams. Now I'm going to cheat. Says that it's dirham is 3.3 grams. Rav Avadia Yosef holds that it's 3 grams, and Rav Chaim Naer holds that it's 3.2 grams. Now, we're going to go for tonight's purposes with Rav Yosef Kapach's calculation, for the simple reason that it's an easier number to work with, because he holds that 5 shlaim is 100 grams. And therefore, 50 shlaim is going to be 1,000 grams. So a kilo. So according to Rav Kapach, right, a kilo of 50 sela of kesef tsuri is going to be a kilo of silver. Last week the price of silver was 58 pence a gram. So that means we're talking about the ketubah being, Matayim Zuz, being £580, which is not a whole lot of money. That's if you hold that we're talking about Kesef Suri. If we're talking about Kesef Medina, then it's only going to be one-eighth of that. That's going to be £72.50. Which is not very much money whatsoever. The lawyer's fees are going to be more than that. Modern equivalent. So let's work on the assumption. Let's follow Rav Yosef Kapach, because this is the easier calculation. He says a dirham is 3.33 grams. 5 shlaim, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, is 30 dirham. So that's going to be, 5 shlaim is going to be 100 grams. Matayim Zuz is 50 shlaim, so that's 10 times 5 shlaim. That's going to be 1,000 grams, 1 kilo. The cost of 1 kilo of silver is round about £580. According to Rav Avadia Yosef, it'll be 90% of that. So it'll be £530. According to Reb Chaim Nye, it'll be 95% of that. But, you know, we're looking at a ballpark figure of 500, 550, £580. Well, if it's Kesef Medina, it's going to be only an eighth of that, which is £72.50. So this is a big question that the Achronim address. The big question that the Achronim address is, what are we, what, you know, how can it be that this is the amount of money that a woman gets in the ketubah? It's problematic for two reasons. Reason number one is that this is supposed to be a payment to sustain her in some way. Well, £580 is not going to last her a whole long time. Second of all, and certainly £72.50 is barely going to last her a week. It's not going to last her a week if she's got to pay a bit of rent as well. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is, you know, we said one of the reasons why Chachamim were mataking a ketubah, as was Shelo Yeh Kal Beinav, so it shouldn't be easy for him to divorce her. Well, if it's only going to cost him £72.50, or even if it's going to cost him £580, that's not much of a disincentive reason for getting divorced. It's not very much money, not very much money at all. So we've got various positions which are taken on this. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very important tshuva in Eben Ha'ezer Chelek Dalad Simon Tzadik Aleph, where he comes to the conclusion that in actual fact the value of the ketubah is the value of £100 of silver. I didn't do my workings out to find out how many kilos to a pound and etc. etc. or how many pounds to a kilo. I think it is, if I remember correctly, it's 2.2 pounds to the kilo, something like that. So £100 is going to be 40-odd kilos or something like that. In any event, at a price of £18.07 per ounce of silver, £100 is going to be 28,912 pounds. Round it up and call it £30,000. £30,000 is a very different payment to £580. Essentially, what Rav Moshe is looking at is the notion that a ketubah is, they always had in mind that this was going to be what a person could afford to pay for his wife for a year. But basically, living costs for a year, which in the times of Chazal was roughly to Matayim Zuz. We see this from other sugyot, that a person who's got Matayim Zuz is not allowed to claim tzedakah, for example. So he does various cheshbonot and looks at the shiurim that the Rishonim gave, etc., etc. And he comes to the conclusion that it's £100 of silver, which, if you're looking at £30,000, is a much more severe amount to be paying somebody. Obviously, there's a degree of subjectivity here, because if you're looking at a person in perhaps a poor area of Israel, then £30,000 is quite a good divorce settlement. If you're looking at a person who lives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, £30,000, $45,000 or less, $40,000 is probably not regarded as being, it's not being regarded as very much at all. Reb Chaim Nye had a different calculation. He said that it was 8.5 pounds of silver, which is just £2,500, which is, you know, a bit more significant than 580, but it's still not a whole king's ransom. So that's discussion discussion number one. There is also a notion of the Tosefet Ketubah. So if we look in a Ketubah, and we will in due course look in a Ketubah, we'll see that the Ketubah actually has various parts to it. And it talks about the Ikar Ketubah, the Matayim Zuz, and then it talks about a further Matayim Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf, further 200 Zukukim of silver. In actual fact, this is, it's 100 Zuz. We say that the Chatan has accepted upon himself in repayment for the Nadunya, for the dowry that the Kala brought into the marriage. And he's accepted responsibility for that, and he will repay it at a value of Mea Zukukim. And then he's also promised to repay a further Mea Zukukim. So the question is, what are these Zukukim? So Rav Moshe and others say that it seems that the Zukukim were a European coin, a European silver coin from the time of the late Middle Ages. Nobody's sure exactly what these Zukukim are. And there's some uncertainty whether, well, there's a whole discussion amongst the Acharonim, whether they were more than the Ikar Ketubah or less than the Ikar Ketubah. Minhag of Ashkenazim, standardly, certainly in Chutz La'aretz, is simply to write down Matayim Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf. And then there are going to be a number of ways to understand it, either to understand that this is an absolute value, or to say that the Matayim Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf represents the annual salary, and that's essentially what Rav Moshe is saying. When Rav Moshe says it's £100, if I remember correctly, he's saying that that's including the £100 of silver, is including the Tosefet Ketubah, but that a woman would get something worth a year's salary, and that was what Chazal had in mind when they put together the whole Ketubah. So there is, of course, a very big academic dimension to all of this, and that is that nowadays it's, as I say, it's largely theoretical and academic, because usually speaking, the Ketubah settlement is superseded by an agreement in the courts. Meaning, if a woman, the woman's Ketubah says she's entitled to £580, very often the court agreement is going to give her far more than that. It would be very rare that a woman would walk away only with what is stated in the Ketubah. And, usually she'll waive the rights to what's in the Ketubah and get a higher amount. Also, because it's a big machloket in the poskim, a number of poskim approach this from a Choshen Mishpat perspective, meaning that we've got doubts what these terms mean. You know, Matayim Zuz and Matayim Zukukim Kesef Tsaruf. What is all this? The woman will come to the Beit Din and say, well, I looked it up in a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I've worked out that I'm entitled to £30,000 from you. And the husband will say, well, I looked it up elsewhere, and I found out that I have to give you £2,500. So in this case, we would say, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya, or Hamotziya mechaveira aleha haraya, meaning that the woman can't coerce the man into paying according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, unless there was a clause in the Ketubah. It said, "My time's good and kesef tsaruf sachakol aliba de Rav Moshe Feinstein b'shut igrot Moshe." But it doesn't say that. Now, many svardim, and this is also the minhag generally in Eretz Yisrael, is in actual fact for the Tosefet Ketubah to write the actual Tosefet into the Ketubah. So, they'll write a fixed amount. 18,000 $100,000 or $180,000 or whatever it is. Very often, the Ketubot, especially, as I say, especially in Eretz Yisrael, will have this, the Tosefet, more clearly spelled out. And I guess that will be an enforceable amount in the Israeli courts. I don't have any experience of this, but you know, presumably, you know, that will be an enforceable amount. And you know, generally speaking, they like to put in sensible amounts into what this will be. The Rabbanut has regulations about what the highest amount can be put in there, because you know, some people would like to, you know, £1 million they'll write into the ketubah, or $1 million. Well, that's, you know, very nice to show off your wealth in that way, that you can afford to write $1 million in the ketubah. But very often, if that's what's being put down, then nobody's taking it seriously, and that's not really what they intending to pay or expecting to pay. So it needs to be something which is needs to be something which is realistic. So we've very, very quickly gone through there the nuts and bolts, as it were, of the ketubah. We've got a few specific shilas, but I think what I'd like to do now is actually look at the nusach of the ketubah and go through it, trying to understand exactly what it says, and talk through some of the details before we then talk about the, you know, the specific specific shilas. So you've on one of the later pages, what page is it? We've got the text of the standard Ashkenazi ketubah of Chutz La'aretz. It's on the fifth page. So let's go through it. Let's go through it b'shutchem together and try and understand and talk about what it's referring to. So the opening part is a standard shtar. In terms of a shtar, needs to, you know, for it to have tokef, it needs to tell us, you know, when and where it was written. So bashlishi b'shabbat shloshim yom lechodesh menachem av, shu rosh chodesh elul shnat chameshet alafim shvamiot b'shivim ba'arva livriat olam. I feel like I'm standing under a chuppah reading the ketubah just now. Okay, so just to highlight a few things. And by way of introduction, say, you know, when you, two things, when, you know, if you are, Masadeh Kiddushin at any stage in the future, and we will have, you know, perhaps, you know, as the final share, just to go through a checklist of things, to be Masadeh Kiddushin with. But when it comes to the ketubah, number one, practice to make sure you can read it properly. There's nothing worse than standing at a wedding where the, person who's reading the ketubah can't read it properly, but also when you filled it out, you then have somebody else check it. So many times I've had to rewrite ketubot because I've written something wrong. It's very easy to make a mistake, and it's well worth checking it through with somebody. So you write the date. With the day of the week, we write as Bashlishi b'Shabbat, Ravi b'Shabbat. We don't say B'yom Rishon. We say Bashlishi b'Shabbat, Shloshim Yom l'Chodesh Menachem Av. So the Shloshim Yom, again, it's if it's up till 10 days, it's Yamim, Chamisha Yamim. And then beyond that, it's Yom. No, that's not Ma'akev. If you wrote Lamed Yom, that would Lamed Yamim, that would also be kosher. L'chodesh menachem av, shu rosh chodesh elul. Now, if it's the 30th day of the month, you always write in that it's rosh chodesh for the next month. If it's the first of the month, you don't write in that it's rosh chodesh. If it's the 30th day of the month, you write in that it's rosh chodesh for the next month. Shnat chameshet ravim shvamayot shivim arba livriyot olam leminyan sha'anu monin kan. Belondon. So, again, this is, we'll talk about the, so we write, you know, simply belondon. I say we, the Ashkenazim. Sfardim tend to be a bit more specific. Their nusach reflects the get a little bit. Again, different Sephardi communities will have different practices. If you look on the next page, I've given you, and we'll talk about the ones on the next page in a little bit, but if you look on the next page, you can see there's one from the S&P, a handwritten one, and it there says in the second line, Monin Po London, Mata de Yatva al Nahar Thames. Okay, that's on the River Thames. That's with a get, you always identify the place by its rivers, because there are lots of places called London. In a Ketubah, we tend not to be so worried about it. Eich Rabbi Avraham Simcha ben Daniel. So you want to make sure you've got the names right. So the Chatan said, Amal ala hada batulta, Hadasa Sara bat Yitzchak. Have lilin to kudat Moshe Yisrael, be my wife, in accordance with the rules of Moshe and of Yisrael. Vana eflach va'okir va'ezon va'afanis yitichi lichi. And I will, eflach, I will work for you. Some say this is a reference to the chiyuv of onah, of sexually satisfying his wife. Va'okir, and I will respect you. Or some say that's referring to mazonot. Va'ezon, and I will provide you with mazonot. Va'farnes, and I will provide you with parnasa. What's that referring to? Referring to kasut. So we've got she'er kasut va'ona, all included here. Yetichi lichi, you kilkot guvrin yudain, depalkin imokin zanim v'farnesin l'shem v'kushta. Okay, in accordance with Jewish, as Jewish men do, who look after their wives, bekushta, with emunah, okay, in a trustworthy, faithful manner. V'ahivla leichi moa betulaichi, and I will give you your betula payment, kesef zuzei matan dechazu leichi midoraita. Okay, the 50 shekels of kesef that you're entitled to min ha-Torah. Now, one of the questions, we'll discuss this next time when we continue the shir on Hilchot Ketuvah. But one of the big questions which comes up is, if she's not a betula. So if the kala is a gerusha or an almana, life is very straightforward. Because for a grusha you write v'yahivla la lechi moha matrachataychi, and previously would have referred to as not as hada betulta, but as hada matrachta, a divorced woman. And if she's an almana, we'll refer to her as an armalata, as an almana. And we'll say that it's kesef suzi mea, that she's only entitled to half of that. And we'll say dechazulichi midrabanan. So that's all fine. And then there's the question, what if she's, you know, divorced and from a first husband and widowed from a second husband, or widowed from a first husband, divorced from a second husband? Okay, all those things you have to check out when you're writing the Ketubah and make sure that you write it correctly. And the big question discussed by the Achronim is, what if the woman has never previously been married, but she's not a betula, she's a bu'ula? And then you can have two scenarios. One is that she's either bu'ulat atzmo, meaning that she's had intimate relations with her husband, but not with anybody else. And the other possibility is that she's bu'ula from somebody else. And that's also a question that needs to be addressed with regard to three questions, three issues. Number one is, how do you describe her? Can you still describe her as a betulta? Number two, what do we write? How much money is she entitled? Do we write that she's entitled to? And number three, can we still write the Chazilichi Midoraita, or do you have to write the Chazilichi Midrabanan? Fourth question is what you read out under the chuppah, but in practice, what you read out under the chuppah doesn't matter. In terms of, you don't have to read what's written in the ketubah, you don't have to read that out under the chuppah. So sometimes you'll have a case where a woman is not a betula, and for whatever reason, we'll discuss next time, you know, they've written a ketubah for a be'ula, but you don't want to announce that publicly to everybody. So no, you just read it out as if it was a ketubah for a betula. Doesn't matter. We said last time the reason why you're reading the ketubah is for it to be a hefsek. Fine. We'll discuss that. As I say, we'll discuss the details next time. We'll discuss the details next time. But the fact that you're reading out something different to what's written isn't going to affect the validity of the ketubah. The validity of the fine. That's the same as reading out something different. If I skip something, I'm reading out something different to what's written. If it says the chazulichi midoraita, and I see to say the chazulichi umzonaichi, then I'm reading out something different to what's there. It's the amounts are the same. So umzonaichi b'chisutaichi v'sipukaichi. So your mezonot and your coverings and your necessities umealavataichi. And so what you're entitled to in terms of company, so meaning the shiur honor, ka'orach kol ara, will be like everybody does. I always say to a chatan when I'm, explaining the ketubah, the ketubah is stating down the standard terms of reference. That's the ketubah that we're writing out for. Your domestic arrangements in terms of the ketubah should be the standard domestic arrangements that everybody has. Who takes out the dustbins and who polishes the silver and who cooks dinner on a Wednesday night is something that you can work out between yourselves. But the terms of reference in the ketubah are the standard references. Terms of reference. Ka'orach kol ara. Utsviat marat hadas asara betulta da. Now, subsequently, it's the first time in the ketubah, the first time and the last time in the ketubah that you write out the names in full, and then in the middle of the ketubah you just write out their names rather than the father's name as well. So, she agreed to be married to him. V'dein nedunya tanala emibe avuha. Now, any nedunya means any dowry that she's brought mibe avuha. We usually write in mibe avuha means from her father's estate. If the woman's father's not alive or she's been previously married, we say mibe nasha. But the Rama says if you interchange the terms, it doesn't actually matter. And even if she's, you know, bringing in her own dowry, which, you know, will often be the case nowadays as well, you still write either mibe avuha or mibe nasha. Bein b'chesef, bein b'zahav, bein b'tachshitin. B'mane dilvusha v'shemusha yirvushemusha da'arsa. So she's bringing in silver or gold, jewellery, items of clothing, household equipment, bedding, whatever it is. Me'azukukim kesef tsaruf. We're evaluating it as being worth 100 zukukim of silver. But Tzavi Rabbi Avram Simcha Chatan Danan v'hosifla min delay me'azukukim kesef tsaruf achayim kenegdan. He's added a further me'azukukim. Sachakol matayim zukukim kesef tsaruf. Everything coming in total to 200 zukukim of kesef tsaruf. And then a point of machloket amongst the achronim is whether this 200 zukukim of kesef tsaruf is in addition to the matayim mentioned previously. Or when we're saying sachakol matayim, that means it's including the matayim zuz mentioned previously. If we say, like Rav Moshe was saying, that the zukukim are very large silver coins which have a high value, so then So then, and the Matayim Zuz is a very small amount, so then it's including that. If you understand the Matayim Zuz to have a higher value, and the Zukukim not to have such a high value, then the Matayim Zukukim Kesef Tzaruf is going to be in addition to the Matayim Zuz. And then the Kachamar Rabbi Avraham Simcha Chatan Danan Achrayishta Ketuv Tadan Dunya Levtosefta Da. All the responsibilities for the Ketuvah, so that's the Ikka, the Nedunya, that's for repaying the value of the dowry, and the Tosefet Kabbalit Alay Vayati Batrai. I've accepted upon myself and on my descendants Litparamikos Far Arag Nichsim Kinyan and Diitli. Tchot Kol Shemaya. So I'm committing that everything's going to be paid from the best of my property that I've got, anywhere in the world that I might have now or that I might have in the future, etc., etc. And then it says that we've made a kinyan on this, etc. It said this should be taken very seriously. Now, just to finish off, I brought here also, you can see the S&P Ketubot. I haven't gone through every, I suspect that every Eda amongst the Sfardim has its own Ketubah, but particular interest to us is the S&P. Now, the S&P has actually changed their nusach in recent years. If you look at this handwritten one, which I think goes back 36 years, what was it? Chamesh Es Alafim Ushva Meot Varbaim Va'arba. So that's around the mid-80s. So we've got the names. And then he says, so the Ahivna Lechi, this is about eight lines down. The Ahivna Lechi Mobutu Lechi, Kesef Zuze Matan, the Chazu Lechi Minai, Da Oraita. Okay, so it's interesting. That Ketubah is saying, the Chazu Lechi Mida Oraita. Whereas, if you look in the more up to date, version that we've got, it just says v'yahivna lichi mohar, and then you'll fill in whether it's betulaichi or amunutaichi, whatever, kesef zuzi, either mea or mataim, depending on whether it's betula ba'ula, dechazu lichi, just says dechazu lichi. That's not observation number one. So the, and this is following most Sephardim. Most Sephardim say, for, you know, we'll follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Why 30 odd years ago they were following the Minhag of the Ashkenazim, I don't know. Yeah. Okay, so that's very interesting. Very interesting. So, why that change has happened over the course of the over the past couple of years? Yeah, so I understand there's a big difference. But the interesting thing is that the S&P have changed now. The S&P now don't say Dorita. So what has motivated that shift, I don't know. I haven't been able to get to the bottom of it. I have tried speaking to one or two people, but there was a bit of uncertainty about some of the issues. But, I mean, it could be as simple as that the population of the S&P community is very different today to what it was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, it was S&P, whereas now the S&P is pan-Sephardi. You know, includes people from, you know, much wider a dot. The other thing, just to flag up, just for now, in this S&P text, is a few lines further down with the Tosefet. It's noticeable that, of course, the Chatan's name is only mentioned once, right? And it's the same with the Kala, right at the beginning, and not mentioned at the end. But the Tosefet isn't in the Zukukim. V'hosif ihu midilei sach chamshin litrin isterlin. So chamshin litrin isterlin would seem to me to be £50 sterling. Unless I've misunderstood what that is, that's an interesting amount. Chamishin litrin sterling is not a whole lot of money. But if you look in the other version of the S&P text, which is the one in the Rashi script, so we've got here three that they've been using over the course of the past 40 years. So this one says, sorry, that one says, so the first one in the Ketav Ashuret was, V'hosif ilu midilei sach chamshin litrin isterlin, V'hosif la od schum, ad she'alu b'sach hakol, shmona esrei elef litrin isterlin, bar me'ika ketubata, ketubta. So it's there, it said, it's £50 plus another amount, which will give a total of Shmona Esra Elef, £18,000, which, of course, is still not a king's ransom. Whereas in the other one, it says, Even if he cases Zuzi de Chazulichi Minai, who's on Aiche, who's got Kaltada, but how about Le Intu, Vitan Tunya Talatle, Sach Shehuskan Benehem? So it's not mentioning the value of the Nadunya. Right, there that just says £50 sterling, which is, of course, not very much at all. So, okay, various different texts there. I'm going to see if I can find out a little bit more as to why the S&P 35 years ago and 300 years ago we're using the Chazulichi Midoraita, and where that came from. It would be interesting to know what they were doing in Amsterdam, so I need to look into that. Okay, it's 10 o'clock, so we'll leave it here for now.